Succession number 26561, Reel 22.
Wing Commander Bernard, Reel 22. We're talking about these various posts that, between NATO and the Air Ministry and then the Ministry of Defence between, into the late 60s, early 70s. The introduction of fax systems was the last thing, and you said the commanding officers didn't like this much. You've got some more points to make about that, but...
Yes, my idea was that they were discussing something. They could call the one or two trolleys out of the hall, plug it into their telephone system, and type out what they wanted on there, or do it in handwriting. This was didn't require any signals or any external communication devices other than the fax itself. And then we decided that overseas you have an encryption problem if you're sending sensitive information in diagram form or something like that that you do. So we worked on a system of encryption where we encrypted the facsimile signal, which went by radio, and this trial was set up in MOD, which is my project. It's called Mercury. That was a bit expensive in radio thing and of a fairly slow arrangement and didn't quite take off on a radio. The encryption device was rather complex with old-fashioned transistors in it and was not very reliable, so I don't know what happened to that. Then I moved on to, I was posted to High Wycombe, RF High Wycombe, well, headquarters, then Bomber Command, and during that period it transferred. I was called Wing Commander Radio there and was responsible for all the radio, and we amalgamated with the Fighter Command to form Strike Command, and all RAF stations, fighter and bomber, were my responsibility radio-wise. Spend a lot of time visiting places and changing their organization where it was necessary and providing additional scope for intercommunication.
That's a very responsible job, though.
Oh, yes, rather. And I frequently fly out. We had problems in Scotland, and I would fly out there early morning out of Heathrow and come back late at night by to Heathrow. It was an enjoyable job. I didn't like travelling to and from. At that time I'd bought a house in the Princess Risborough area, and I didn't like, we were cutting down a lot of facilities and really wrecking Bomber Command and Fighter Command in the amalgamation process.
You weren't in favour of it then?
I had no option. It was
people
that governed the finances and allocation of funds.
What about satellite communications? Were you getting involved in that?
Yes, at the Air Ministry last posting. I say I pioneered it on some previous thing with Mercury, Strad, and so on. So, yes, it's a very interesting work at the Ministry, but horrible to travel to and from there every day. Then I was panicked into... I came out of the Air Force.
Now, what made you come out? What?
Well, I was 55. At the age of 55, you're forced to retire. It's the end of your career.
As a wing commander? Or is it as everybody?
Everybody nowadays, yes. It's coming that way. I mean, many of them had already been assimilated, I think they called it, which previously it was 50, and if you need to be kept, you went on to 55, which is the limit.
Were you sorry to leave?
Expected it. I expected it. That's what I'd signed on for. But I panicked a bit, and yes, I left the Air Force, and I thought I was going to go on terminal leave on leaving, for which I was paid. And then somebody heard that I'd been in the message switching development field, so they recruited me, a message consultancy firm in London, consulted me and said, we want you to have a look at this place. So I said, well, what is it? And it was a shipping firm of Egger Foresters who had a telegraph room full of young men busily. I think there were about a dozen of them on a two-watch system who were busy going around the world trying to sell a ship, which is worth a few million. And they couldn't get through. They would spend a whole day, perhaps, trying to get through to Greece, and they couldn't do it. And the lines were all choked and locked up. And they said they're thinking about a message switching system for Egger Foresters. Would you go and attend to it? I got there and found that I'd been recruited through this agency to Egger Foresters themselves, not this consultancy firm, which I thought I was going to be. And they were very good. They told me their requirements, and I looked into their signals room. It was quite a large room with about 10 teleprinters and operators, all trying to get through to various overseas locations to buy ships or sell ships and cargoes for them and so on, not being able to get through. And I knew very well that they'd have a much better chance if they used a computer which would seize the line instantly when it became vacant and send the message which had been typed up on tape beforehand. And so all they had was bunches of tapes of messages that hadn't been sent, and were able to do so on this machine, it would load the machine with the tapes ready to go, and they would, as soon as the circuit was free, whistle down the line and get to the other end.
But you didn't do that for long, did you?
Not about a year, was it?
Doesn't say.
No. Less than a year, just on about a year. And they were very good, a lovely firm to work for, delightful people. And I installed another bureau computer, which I didn't provide the data for. The ship brokers did that. They put the information, but every ship in the world that they could muster was put onto this computer. It was the bureau computer, and also then we had the message switching computer, which saved the pay for something like 8 operators. Well, 16 if you double bank them for to watch system.
So your RAF knowledge had come in useful, but you didn't stay long. What was your next one?
I got weary of travelling to the... Well, I put the computers in, you see, within the year. And the manager of this firm was an ex-Guards officer who only wanted... He was horrified when he heard that I was leaving and tried to persuade me to stay on, and he would make me a director of his firm, but I didn't fancy just being office manager for this lot. My job was a technical interest, and I'd achieve that by putting in these two.
So what did you do next?
So whilst I was still there, I found I was hunting for other jobs, more technical jobs. And I heard about the Redefon flight simulation people, and they were keen to get me. I was headhunted by them, and went into flight simulators. And my job there was to, I had a team of 12 engineers and draftsmen, and it was a very interesting job. Every computer, of course, needs to be handed over to the customer with full technical knowledge on how to maintain it and repair it, and how to set it up, and how the pilots should use it, and that sort of thing. So I had a lot of, and all the complicated parts that went into that. For example, an ordinary altimeter on an aircraft is just like a barometer and has a capsule which expands and controls and makes a reading for the height due to the barometric pressures at various heights. We take an ordinary aircraft one and degut it and put three motors in it instead. It's far more complicated than the real thing. The whole of the computerization is done, the whole of the control of the flight simulator is done through a computer, which needs to have, and particularly the modifications to them. For example, if they stick an aerial up, that slows it down and uses more petrol, so those elements of the computer have to be altered. And any other things that are required, if they want a sound system adding to their, that has to be designed and added to the computer and latched to it and operated by it.
And that's where you stayed there till 1985 when you retired. And the other thing we need to really think is your work as involved in the RAF Escape Club. I'm not sure which one you're in now. You're a member of one of the associations.
I'm vice chairman of the RAF Ex-Prisoner of War Association.
And when did you join that?
In 82, before it was formed, I used to meet up with Dixie Deans and another character when I was at the Air Ministry, and we'd have lunch together quite frequently. And then I learned about the association, probably over in France when they were formed, France and Holland. Yes, I didn't mention Holland either, did I? No. No matter. Doesn't matter. It was for the same theme as thing, but
why is the XPO, I think we can imagine, but why is the XPOW Association so RAF XPOW Association so important to you?
Well, just that I have a lot of friends there. I knew a lot of my pals were in it, that's why. And Dixie Deans and others like them.
And what's your role as vice chairman?
I stand in for the Air Commodore when he can't go to a meeting, and if he's away on holiday, I chair the meetings then, and I've got all sorts of things. I'm busy looking after the apprentices from St Athens at the moment, the RAF apprentices from St Athens. And I'm getting POWs to each apprentice from South Africa, from South Wales, to give them stories in the same way as you would do to me. Yes.
And finally, I think you might want to say a word about, I know a lot of the underpinning this activity is your desire to commemorate the work of Bomber Command. Your RAF, most of them were from Bomber Command. Do you want to just say a few last words before we finish, just about why?
Yes, I go round and I give a number of lectures, about a dozen altogether, at various locations, at Oxford College, at names.
Doesn't matter.
Oxford colleges and various schools, usually to the fifth formers. And I do all this because I don't ask for anything, although they were willing to throw in money into the charity bucket for our memorial. I do this, my commercial is the to tell everybody about the 55,000 bomber boys who were shot down, and there was 10,000 prisoners of war, and they all offered their lives for their country. It's all been swept under the carpet. That's very sad. Every one of those bomber boys was a volunteer. Everyone knew that six operations was their optimum, or their average, rather.
Before they were shot down.
Before they were shot down, yes. And everyone wrote their last letter home to mum or the girlfriend before they took off. And they were all about the same age, all very young. Anybody over 25 was a granddad.
Thank you very much.